don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
All right, 28 minutes now before 2. It's time for us to get into our next segment, which is Chew on That. We do have Pastor Francis Kaota, who's going to be helping us chew on chapter 4 of the book of Leviticus. Pastor Kaota, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon to you, and thanks a lot for having me feature in this program. God bless you so much.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really hope we're going to be having all the insights we're looking forward to get from you. I do want to let you know that our conversations are not only for purposes of giving answers, but giving robust answers. And as such, we'll be giving you robust questions. You're ready for that, Mfundisi?
I'm ready. By the grace of the Lord, I hope that the show is going to be blessed of the Lord.
I am looking forward to that. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. So we're doing chapter 4. I'm going to read it, and then after that, I'll give you an opportunity to give a brief comment, and then we get into our Q&A. Is that okay?
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Reading it from the NIV, this is Leviticus chapter 4 from the New International Version, reads as follows. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, bring guilt on the people. If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it there before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of the sin offering, all the fat that is connected to the internal organs, both kidneys, with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys, just as the fat is removed from the ox, sacrificed as a fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the internal organs and the intestines, that is all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially clean where the ashes are thrown and burn it there in a wood fire on the ash heap. If the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the bull's blood into the tent of meeting. He shall dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord 7 times in front of the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from it and burn it on the altar. And do with this bull just as he did with the bull for the sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the community and they will be forgiven. Then he shall take the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. This is the sin offering for the community. When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, when he realizes his guilt and the sin he has committed becomes known, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the goat's head and slaughter it at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall burn all the fat on the altar as he burned the fat of the fellowship offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the leader's sin, and he will be forgiven. If any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, any member now, huh? When they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. Take note, a female goat without defect. They are to lay their hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. And finally, if someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hand on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them, for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Take a minute, Mfundis, and give us Amen. Commentary on this.
Well, thanks a lot. We are having our study from the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is that book of the Bible written by Moses. I think probably the previous studies covered this. But our topic today focuses on Leviticus chapter number 4. And the main concern here is the sin offering.
Mm.
A sin offering was a key part of the sacrificial system that was established by God of Israel. The sin offering is distinct from other offerings. There were different offerings, but this sin offering that is particularly addressed in Leviticus chapter number 4, it is very different from other offerings. And it deals with unintentional sins, or what we call the sin of ignorance. And basically that is what the main basis or the main argument in the book of Leviticus chapter number 4 is about: the sin offering which was needed to atone and the unintentional sins, or what we call the sins of ignorance. So the chapter, the whole chapter, it's a big chapter comprising of 35 verses. But the entire chapter underscores God's holiness and the seriousness of sin, even when committed unintentionally. So sin is very serious. Sin is very grievous, even when committed unintentionally. I don't know whether you
that's, proceed or... Yes. All right. Let me just begin right there and put my questions. When we speak of an unintentional sin, this bisgaga, that's what the Hebrew word is used there, a bisgaga, this unintentional sin, bisgaga mikol. Teheta bisgaga mikol. I'm curious about this. What is that? I mean, I'm looking at the interlinear here, giving us some perspective, but I'm curious, what exactly constitutes an unintentional sin?
Well, unintentional sin is basically tackled by the first two verses of Leviticus. But basically, an intentional sin involves action committed out of ignorance
such
or
as?
Carelessness.
Do you want to give us an example?
No. That the children of Israel have been redeemed or delivered from the land of bondage, but that does not make them immune to sin. So they will continue to
I understand. I understand, Mfunis. My question is just, give us an example of these unintentional transgressions.
When you look at the category of the sin, because now this, if these sins are committed by different people, the sin of the high priest, which is mentioned from verse 3, the sin of the congregation, the sin of the leader, and the sin of the common person. But now we are looking at the examples of these unintentional sin. You remember Jesus at one point addressing a crowd in the book of Luke 23:34, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." There are sins that we normally, the people will always do, and these are the sins which are against the Ten Commandments of God or the commandments of God. People violate the laws knowingly, as in unknowingly, unintentionally. They did not intend, but they have done that sin, and the sin is so grievous that it affects their relationship with God. So some of these are example of this sin is anything people, someone can do. You can say something, you may not feel like it has offended someone, it has hurt someone. You have done it out of ignorance. The way people killed Jesus, they did it out of ignorance.
Sorry, Mfundis, just clarify that. That was murder.
Yeah, that is murder. They did it out of ignorance. They did not know that.
How was it out of ignorance? Who stabs a person and does not know that this person is going to bleed and they are likely to die from the bleeding? Who does that? How what are we talking about? You deliberately take a spear, you plunge it right in the abdominal cavity of a human being, a living human being, and you don't know that this person is likely going to die?
You might know it is going to die, and you see, that's a sin. That's an open sin. You see, when we talk, the book of Leviticus 4, it addresses an intention, or maybe something you can do out of...
Yes, I agree with
lack
you.
...lack of knowledge. Maybe you can do out of anger. Maybe you say it's a word.
But you gave an example of Jesus on the cross, Mfunis. That's my issue. You gave an example of the Luke 23 account where Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He was not referring to murder. Well, are you suggesting that when they were killing him, he was talking about the killing him?
When they were killing him, they had the basis to prosecute him based on the miscarriage of the injustice that
absolutely
the justice that he suffered. They also had the way the death was ratified. There were basis. They wanted to crucify him. They had the reasons, but they were ignorant of what the basis they had. They wanted to kill him, yet they had basis even within the law to do away with him.
But they didn't. That's the thing. They didn't. Even the government of the Republic of Rome at the time, which was governing them and their territory, found no guilt in him. He did say, I find no guilt in this man. So there is no basis for an execution. It would have been a legal execution if there was guilt warranting an execution. But as far as the governor is concerned, there was no guilt found in the person. Therefore, he said, I'm washing my hands of this one. And so when he was killed, it was purely on the will of the mob justice, no longer jurisprudential justice.
Well, my good brother, but now you see now the scheme originated from the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin.
Absolutely.
And they laid all the claims. They found the basis through manipulation of facts.
Right.
False witness. But
right.
These things have been done ignorantly because they...
Where is the ignorance? That's what I'm saying. Where is the ignorance? What is that they were not aware that when they were scheming to kill him, whether they're not aware that they were scheming, when they were paying witnesses, were they not aware? When they paid Judas, were they not aware? When they went and put together a legal team that is going to present a case to the governor, were they not aware? When they had their own Sanhedrin court of kangaroo court at night, were they not? All of these things were premeditated. How are you saying they were not aware?
Basically, when you look, the entire Israel nation was in a lot of ignorance and spiritual blindness. Right from the time Jesus was born, there was nobody in the entire Israel even recognized that the king had been born. This was despite the fact that so many prophets had prophesied that Jesus would be born, where he's going to be born. But you see, they are even fully blind.
Okay.
Even at the time Jesus is starting his ministry and is being baptized by the John the Baptist, they were still in ignorance. They were still in denial.
Let me not belabor this point. I want us to go back to just give us examples. Can you? So you're saying, is the pastor saying you can plan to kill somebody and then claim that was an unintentional killing?
Well, basically, I gave an example from the Bible. So there are so many things that we do. But now let me focus on Leviticus to give typical examples of sin committed unintentionally.
Right.
For instance, a leader may make a decision without realizing it violates God's law. You see, there are many things that we do not know that they exist, even the law in the Bible. Maybe the amount of the knowledge you have in the Bible may not be... I would say it's Bible is as variety of knowledge. So by the time you may realize that you have made a decision which really violates the law of God, but at that time you are doing it, you may not even know. Or an individual might unknowingly break a commandment due to lack of understanding.
Like give us. I need you to give us examples of these things you're saying, Mfundisi.
Okay, let's talk about our modern day life, our everyday life. So that's why I say, like, ignorance may look like unkindly. You can be unkind to someone without realizing how hurtful it is. And maybe, like, what does the Bible say about we take good care of those who are suffering, the need in the society, the widows, the orphans? Do we really do it? So we may not feel like it has weight. We are ignorant of the fact that if someone is hungry and maybe someone is struggling, we need to help that person. You see, we may ignore and we think it's something very little. That's why, and those are things that show the intense, the gravity of sin. There are things that we do brashly, like we ignore their weight and we may not do them accordingly. Actually, these things exist in even today life, like things that are very clear in the Bible. When did you even find a church saying that now we are going to collect food to go and take care of those who are suffering, those maybe to respond to a need? It rarely happens. We come to the church, we sing.
But is that sin, Fundis? Is that sin that needs for people to repent?
That is a very serious sin. There are things that we have ignored that the church, the church community needs to take them very seriously. But for us, we think they are small things, but yet they are very serious.
Do you want to point us to a biblical scripture that tells us that is a sin, Mfundis?
Like when we ignore the needs of others. That's something I've given as an example.
Yeah.
Like,
do you have a scripture that would tell us that ignoring the needs of others is a sin?
When in the book of is it Matthew 20, is it Matthew 21, 24, where Jesus say that men will as in he will say, come and enter the kingdom, for I was hungry and you give me what? And these people will ask, when did I saw you? You see, and then he say, whatever you did to these little ones, you did hated to me. So
Okay.
someone who is ignorant may ignore a needy person, because without knowing that he has an obligation, a
Okay.
spiritual and biblical obligation. I don't know whether now the point is very clear.
All right.
So these people will ask, when did you see me hungry and you give me food?
Right.
How many people are we ignored when they are hungry and we don't?
Right.
So there are these people, it's like you did it ignorantly, but you did it to Christ and to fulfill his obligations.
Right. Let's chat. I see that we're running out of time for this. We've got 7 minutes between you and I. I'll see if I can push it further. But there's a part that I found rather interesting, where the sin is only repented for if it is known. I found that rather interesting, and I'm curious to understand why should we only repent when people find out? Because here it says, if they do this, let me read it from verse 13. Verse 13 says, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known. So my question is, if it does not become known, so they may as well continue doing it, or they will not, they don't have to repent for it because it has not become known.
Well, I was looking at that verse where Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit will come, we'll reprove the world of sin. You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to the remembrance and the conviction of sin. And actually, that is the principal work of the Holy Ghost. So you see, in the Leviticus, we see Christ there and the salvation there, because sin cannot be atoned. Sin cannot be forgiven if it is not repented, and repentance cannot happen if the Holy Spirit has not quickened you to realize that there's something you did wrong against
I
the
accept that,
inspired word.
Mfundisi. I accept that, Mfundisi. But I want you to look at the components of this instruction. This instruction has got very interesting components. First component says, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally, that's one component. Second component is, does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands. So it qualifies what this unintentional sin is. So it must be from the Lord's commands. Mfundisi, if we have time, we'll go back to that issue of this sin is forbidding, I mean, is transgressing God's commands, not anything else. And then the third component is, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize it. So that's a third component where they realize the sin. But what I'm asking you about is the fourth one. The fourth one is found in verse 14. And the sin they committed becomes known. That's the fourth commandment that I'm asking about. All the others may apply. You may have sinned, you may have broken God's command, you may realize it. But this commandment speaks about if it is known. So which means if all these four elements don't apply, then you can just may as well wink an eye, look the other way, pretend like it never did because no one knows.
Your concern is if the sin is not known,
Yeah, absolutely, Funis. If you,
does
you,
it
you,
mean
I
to be
know it
repented?
as a member of the committee. I know that I've done this, but other people don't know. Does it therefore mean I can just keep quiet and hush hush? Nobody knows anyway.
You see, you need to understand the issue is on the sin, and the
Right.
sin has been committed, and
Right.
there is no absolutely excuse for anything. If the sin has been committed, and you see, you cannot commit a sin and you not come to the realization if you are under the guidance. And you see, remember, these are the
Yes.
people of God. And so basically, we let me argue that this sin has to be remembered, because these are the people of God under the guidance of God, and there's no ignorance whatsoever,
No,
whether it was
Funis.
done.
I'm not suggesting that the person, the one who committed the sin does not know. I'm talking about, remember, chapter 4 is talking about the sin offering. So it simply says, once the sin has been committed, and people know that the sin has been committed, then you must bring an offering. And I'm asking, does it therefore mean that if people don't know that you have, I know I've committed the sin, but you don't, does it mean I don't have to bring that offering because of that component found in verse 14? And the sin they committed becomes known. What if it doesn't become known? Does it mean I don't have to bring the offering? I can just ask for forgiveness alone, secretly. Yes, go ahead, Mbunis.
Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
So there's no point of ignorance that you don't know that you have sinned. And I think, is it John 1 where the Bible says that if we say we do not have sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us.
No, Mfundis, I accept that part. Please understand, Mfundis, I
want to make a conclusive argument that there's no time when you feel like you have done a sin and you assume that you have not sinned. And like it's like you have not come to the realization that you sinned against the law of God.
But what if people don't know, Mfundis? That's the question. What if your sin that you know, people don't know that you have committed that sin?
There is no point when someone will do sin and you see now the process is if now from Leviticus 4 and the argument that you are prosecuting is if someone comes to the realization. So it's like now you are trying to argue, what if the person does not come to the realization?
No, for this. And I'm talking about people. Let me give you an example. Today, people sleep around.
Yeah.
But they pretend like they're not sleeping around. They pretend to be virgins. No one knows that people are sleeping around.
Yeah.
And I'm asking, that adultery that people commit,
yes,
is never known up until there's pregnancy.
Yeah.
Only when there is pregnancy do people accept that they have been sleeping around. And my question is, those people who are sleeping around but do not fall pregnant, have they no obligation to bring a sin offering? Because here it specifies in verse 14 that if the sin is known. So if the sin is not known, that if people don't know that our pastor is sleeping around, pastor will keep quiet and pretend to be holy.
Yeah.
The only time the pastor will concede and confess that he has committed a sin is when the woman comes and says, I am pregnant. And it's Pastor Francis Kauta who made me pregnant.
Yeah.
Only then does Pastor Kauta say, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But all these years he's been sleeping with this girl, he's been quiet, he's pretending like he's not committed a sin, and therefore not even admitting to it. And that's my question. What is the efficacy of verse 14? Why is verse 14 say there? It seems to be giving people the right to hide their filth up until they get caught.
You see, sin is sin, yes, even when unrecognized.
Absolutely.
It does not cease being a sin because we are not aware that a pastor is sleeping around with church women.
Yes.
It still remains to be a sin.
Right.
So sin by definition is the violation of God's law, whether intentional or unintentional.
Absolutely.
So as long as you have sinned, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that sin must be brought to repentance for it to be atoned.
But what about verse 14, Mfundisi? Explain verse 14.
I want to explain verses 14.
Okay.
Let me read it. That is the
verse 14 says, and the sin they committed becomes known. Yeah. Then the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. That's my question. Only then, when the sin is known. That's my worry, Mfundisi, that we have churches where people are sleeping around. Hey, it's a mess. But no one knows. People know. No one has written on the forehead that this one is sleeping with another man's wife.
Can you read for me? Can you read for me Leviticus 5:17? Because I think it answers your question better.
Okay. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though they do not know it, they are guilty and will be held responsible.
Well, so whether they know or whether not, there's no excuse whatsoever. Does the verse really settle your question.
No, for this,
Because depending on sins, whether he knows or not, they are guilty.
this one
For
for this.
ignorance,
This one, for this, is
even
another
if they
issue.
don't know.
This one is another issue that touches on the third component. For now, it's just touching on the fourth component of other people not knowing.
So basically, who is not know, who is not who is now the subject? Who is not knowing the
Okay.
whether he has seen
So
or maybe.
my name is Naye. Naye sleeps around. And Naye knows that he's sleeping around. I doubt that anyone who doesn't know when they are sleeping around. But Naye knows that he's sleeping around and it's wrong for him to sleep around. Right? But Kauta doesn't know that Naye is sleeping around. Kauta is Naye's pastor, but Kauta doesn't know that Naye is sleeping around.
Yeah.
But now, because the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 14, you must bring an offering if your sin gets known.
Now, you see, now the issue that is where now we come to the category. You see, from the same chapter that we are talking,
right,
you realize that there are several categories of people who have sinned.
I understand him for this. And I just need us to address the issue of the sin that is known, that becomes known.
Yes.
And my issue is when Kauta does not know that his member, Naye, is sleeping around, Kauta is going to be quiet. He's going to let Naye be elected as an elder of a church. But
yeah,
now, verse 14
like,
says, I only get to confess that sin and bring a sin offering if people know. And I'm asking why. Why is verse 14 saying you must do it only when other people know?
And I think this falls under the category of the sin of the congregation. Actually, from 13 to 21, it is this. Because now we are dealing with the sin of the high priest, the sin of the congregation. So basically, when do we know that a member of the congregation has sinned?
It's not only the congregation in fullness. It's a congregation and the leader.
And the leader.
Yes.
Yeah, from Leviticus 13:21. Now,
yes,
the issue that we want, you see, any sin that needs to be addressed, whether intentional or unintentional, it will always fall under the four categories that have been highlighted in the chapter number 4. The sin of the high priest, the sin of the congregation, the sin of a leader, the sin of a common person. So there's nobody who is exempted from sin. So whether that sin is from an individual, we may not know that Pastor Kauta is maybe doing something fishy with someone, but Kauta knows. We may not know about our leader, but the leader knows. The sin of the congregation, whoever is...
Then why does verse 14 exist, then, Fundis? That's my worry. Why does verse 14 exist? It creates the impression. And by the way, it's not only with the community. It's the community, it's the leader, and any member. The issue there is if it becomes known. Verse 28 says, if any member like me, who's a nobody... Verse 28 says, and the sin they have committed becomes known, then they must bring. Yeah? With verse 22, it tells us, verse 23 is there, verse says, with the leader, and the sin he has committed becomes known. Verse 14 says, with the leader, and the sin they committed becomes known. So all three of these, out of four categories, all three of these appear to want people to repent and bring a sin offering only if the sin they have committed becomes known.
Well, I wanted us to look at that exactly first, that independently, that is 4 verses 14. So now we can address your issue. Because now the issue is, if the sin is not known, should it go unrepented? Or maybe will it have not any kind of... can you read for me again the same
okay,
verse 14?
Verse Leviticus chapter 4 verse 14 says, and the sin
let's start from that verse 13 so we get the context in
all right. Verse 13 says, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt, and verse 14, and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting.
So the Leviticus 4:14 addresses the specific situation where the community, the whole congregation of Israel, has unintentionally sinned. True or false? Now, it
no,
addresses
the verse 14. Verse 14 doesn't address that. Verse 14 addresses the issue of the sin they, as a community, know is now known by other people, other communities.
Well, I got your point. The issue at verse 14 is that it addresses the sin where the community does, and this is an intentional sin which is done by the community.
Yes.
So the issue is when the sin they have committed becomes another. Now that is what we want to address. When the sin they have committed, it is purely unknown.
Known from this, the verse 14 says, the community X in Kenya, the Kenyan community sins, and the South African community now finds out that the Kenyans are doing this. So if the South Africans can never know that the Kenyans are doing this, there's no need for a sin offering. That's what this verse is suggesting.
Now, the issue of sin there being known or unknown, to me, and maybe when to probably to give to add more light on that, I would think that the passage will assume that the sin, which was initially unintentional or unknown, will eventually come to the light.
Right.
So that one I would anticipate that the first will say that if there is a sin that has happened, okay, like in the church, when people say that anything that was done in the darkness will be brought to light.
Right.
There might be things that are happening and we may not know,
yeah,
but eventually God will bring all those things to the light and everyone will see that there has been a sin happening.
Yeah.
So to me, I think the first highlights that sin as a way of being refuted. Even when people are unaware of their wrongdoing,
right,
as a community or even as a church.
Okay.
Now, let me reinforce it with verse 90, with Psalms 90 verse 8. Psalms 90 verse 8. It says, "Hello."
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening, Punso.
Yeah, Psalms chapter number 90 verse 8 says, "You have set our iniquities before you."
Right.
Our secret sins in the light of your presence.
Yeah.
So this sin which is mentioned and probably which is not known, it will eventually come to the light even, and it will be exposed even when people are unaware at the time it is happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Mbonis, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your insights. I'm looking forward to this conversation tomorrow. It's very, very interesting stuff. Tomorrow we pick up on chapter 5. Thank you very much, Mbonis.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. All right, thank you very much, Mbonis.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.